So Jesus then goes to the temple and sees the money changers and the dove sellers. And these are the prototypes for the get-rich-quick schemers and subprime mortgage lenders. And Jesus goes and wrecks their stuff. And suddenly, now that there's room for children and for the oppressed and for sick people to come, and Jesus offers them healing there. And this, of course, upsets the elders and religious leaders. Who do you think you are? The money changers and dove sellers allow poor people to come and offer their sacrifices here in the temple. This is upsetting to the hierarchy that keeps the poor people over here and the rich people over here. Jesus, in promoting some civil disobedience, is offering liberation and a different way of being in relationship with God. And so that leads us into today's reading, where the elders and the religious leaders are asking him, by whose authority are you doing this? And as Jesus often does, he answers a question with a story. And the story goes like this. He tells, a father has two sons. And he tells the first son, go and tend the vineyard. And the son says, nah, I'm not going to do it. But then he goes and does it anyway. The father tells his other son, go and tend the vineyard. And the other son says, sure, I'll go do that. And then doesn't. Jesus then makes the comparison that the people, the religious leaders and the elders have oppressed and kept out of the temple will more easily get into the kingdom of heaven than those who have supported the status quo. Hear now the story in the Muscogee language. Momishistoman is agitech agihax, istihumget ipuchat dagi okolejet os. And hadijija iskan is alaget, chibuji umbothko jobofon ayet, majanita nadotkas, kejidis. Emo yobozit get momathan egodos, kejidis. Momas then obut. A yoban em agithejkan itachet ayadis. Moment so hokolan em alaget madaboman kejadis. Moment ayaboskit ayathes pujazi kejit ayagadis. Mahokolat istomat det ithkikomat mojigdat haks. En hajijeska kejagadis. Mahenwan che kejax. Kehejakis. Charogan adut adilo yogan yelgi. Godathalgi isyomat. Chehomatagan hesagidomisi o emigra is chiet os. Jesus kejadis. Chani fujeta ayeda ovan chem alakagadi omega. Moment. Akasa majki kangis. Momischero ganahua adilo yelgi. Hokdathkagi es yomat akasa magangis. Momen chemid hajij kof flo yobo chem agithechka itechke gangis. Oham kaza majka that.
I understood what you said. Well, I'm really happy to be here with you today. I am Rosemary McCombs Maxie, and I grew up in Oklahoma in the heart of the Muscogee Creek Nation. And so I grew up speaking the language. My family was bilingual. And so it's my joy and privilege to use that bilingual nature to now teach the language. And so I teach the language in my home for a language immersion experience, 1 week out of the summer for us to just be immersed not only in the language, but in the culture as well. And so Paul and I host this event after much fear and trepidation and preparation. And then we sigh with great relief when the last person leaves and goes home. That is my recent passion. In my other life, I have been ordained in the United Church of Christ for almost 30 years. I have pastored a church in Maryland back in the day when they said they don't want a woman preacher. And so I was there for 12 years. After that, and we retired and came back to Oklahoma, I was the director, interim director for the Council for American Indian Ministry. And then following that, the director of the Eagle Butte Learning Center. Now get this, I was the part-time interim minister for the Eagle Butte Learning Center, and I've been there for 15 years. I've resigned twice, and they would not accept my resignation, so I'm stuck. So I hang out with the Lakota people for that experience. Other than that, life is calm and cool, and Paul and I enjoy farm life, and we are so delighted to have Adrian and Liera nearby, and they've been living out on the West Coast and then the East Coast, and now they're here in the middle, and it's good to have them here. And our other son, Truman, and his wife live in Tulsa and are members of Fellowship Church. So we're very happy campers at our farm. As we prepare our hearts and minds to hear the message, I invite us to pray. Hisagi demisi, majanita simonachkozi bumbalichgad, mado jigejis. Mun idimbunahuid abugiad, agisletka, halwin pumujibadi gomit, ibohmithitskin gomit, Jesus hojivka ovan tispoyes. Amen. The lesson, the gospel lesson, reminds me of that liberation slogan, speak truth to power. The author of Matthew shows Jesus as contrasted to the chief priests and elders of Israel, as Adrian read to us and set the context. And I would like to think that Jesus was busy teaching them more than setting out to defy them. But they think that Jesus is defying them, not playing by the rules that they said that God had made. By defying the chief priests and elders meant that Jesus' exemplary life of making friends with and defending the poor and marginalized people of his time was not helping them fortify their power. You see, the chief priests quoted prophets of old to justify the God that they had created, making them the rulers, the victors, the righteous, and saying that God approved. They were recreating God in their image. They did not like for this image to be challenged by God's new image, Jesus' new image of God. In this focal parable, Jesus told of the two brothers doing the opposite of what they said they would do. And I think that's very much like two brothers. And Jesus holds up the first son as an example who said he would not work the fields, but changed his mind and heart and did. And Jesus holds up this first son as the example and says, prostitutes and harlots will get into heaven before the hypocrites do. Jesus said that. Is it better to say I won't than do it? There seems to be some reluctance on the part of those who are being encouraged to do something. But you watch the people who say, no, I won't do it, but end up having to do it anyway. On this American Indian Sunday in the United Church of Christ, I want to do two things. One is talk to you about the American Indians who are members of the United Church of Christ. And then I want to talk about the resolution that was passed at General Synod 2 years ago calling on the church to repudiate the doctrine of discovery. The Council for American Indian Ministry, CAME, as we call it, is the voice and agent for Indian people in the United Church of Christ. The ministry is geographically situated in North and South Dakota with 20 reservation churches, plus three others, one in Wisconsin, one in Nebraska, and one in Minnesota. The one in Minnesota is the last church to be begun in the 1980s, and prior to that, they were all 1880s churches. Other American Indians who relate to CAME come from all of the UCC conferences. In a composite, you would say that there are 1,000 church members, reservation church members, and 500 of us come from across the United Church of Christ, and we relate in some way to CAME. And our ministries are funded by one-third of the Neighbors in Need offering, which is usually taken in November, and you have a little thing in your bulletin that talks about it. So prepare to give generously. Most of the Indian churches were built and rebuilt in the early 1900s. And since 1992, some church buildings have been replaced via partners who come to the Dakotas to rebuild them or to build them. These summer work projects are done by youth and their adult advisors. Our ministries are very simple. Weekly worship services, community-wide events such as wakes and funerals are the primary job of the pastor. Pastors travel great distances to these historic reservation churches. Some pastors have two and three churches in their charge and thus travel many miles over the weekend. And most of our aging pastors and lay leaders live below the poverty level, and the meager offerings from the church go a long way to help them get across the states to their churches. Reservation life is to live in captive poverty. Our pastors are not seminary trained in the Western sense. Rather, their church and life experiences and some courses at the Eagle Butte Learning Center serve to educate, credential, and authorize them for ministry. The Eagle Butte Learning Center, also funded by the Neighbors in Need offering, is located on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation, and the Learning Center is 14 years old. The Learning Center is on the reservation, making it culturally and theologically relevant to the pastors there. The learners design the studies they want to learn, and while they appreciate the theological approach we bring to them, most want to know the practical side of ministry, like how to minister in the midst of domestic violence situations. What to do when church and family members are manufacturing, distributing, and addicting themselves to drugs. The pastors want to know how to help in dealing with teen suicide, not just in their church and community, but in their own families. The needs for these reservation churches are many and great, and the Neighbors in Need offering sustains us to address some of these issues. But rather than the pity party, I would like to talk about the many and great gifts we give to our church. Sometimes we Indians have to be reminded ourselves just how much we have given. We have surrendered vast amounts of land to the church and to this country. We have surrendered a large portion of who we are to participate in this church and society. We have provided more than we know how to name so that this country can flourish. We have given many gifts. And similar to the parable in today's reading, we may have said we wouldn't, but when forced, we did. Which brings me to the second talking point. Several years ago, the Eagle Butte Learning Center decided to prepare ourselves for dialogue with others in the church about our gifts and about our challenges. The Dakota Association in South Dakota, made up of 12 Lakota-speaking congregations, took on the challenge of talking about race with their nearly all-white neighbors in the South Dakota Conference. This discussion led to the exploration of the doctrine of discovery, and a resolution went to General Synod and passed. Several mainline Protestant denominations have already made resolutions to repudiate the doctrine, and most recently, a group of nuns petitioned the Pope to rescind the doctrine of discovery. And that is quite challenging, considering the doctrine came from a papal bull written in 1491, even before 1492. So what is the doctrine of discovery? And how is it relevant to our faith? And what are the consequences of repudiating it? The doctrine of discovery refers to several papal edicts issued in the 15th century that gave European explorers the legal and religious justification to claim and conquer lands occupied by non-baptized heathens. I almost said non-Baptist. Non-baptized heathens. Especially, it referenced Africa and the New World. Native people were savages and had to be captured, enslaved, converted, and their properties confiscated. There are two concepts to which we should pay attention, theologically and legally. Theologically, there's the theological rationale for Europeans to conquer and confiscate other lands. The Protestants adopted this rationale and treated indigenous people as if they were animals without souls. Legally, the discovery concept was written into the United States law as a doctrine to deny land rights to American Indians through the Supreme Court case known as Johnson versus McIntosh in 1823, the supreme law of the land and manifest destiny became truths for American people. Now, why is this 500-year-old doctrine relevant to people of faith and to the United Church of Christ in particular? To me, this is a starting point for talking about racism that leads to all the other isms of our time. It has to do with our church and state relationships, which continue to crush Native American languages, cultures, and religions. The legacy of unjust land treaties, while it benefits all of us in some way, it dehumanizes and disenfranchises many of us at the same time. Excessive poverty, illness from diseases, environmental degradation and its consequences, massive incarcerations, militarism where evils combat other evils, and not one of us is unscathed. Thinking about this is huge. It's complicated to rethink our theology. It's complicated to rethink our citizenship. It's complicated, and it's hard to discuss. The resolution to repudiate the doctrine of discovery calls on us to think about our theology and our actions. Well, will repudiating the doctrine help? I don't know. Dr. Norman Jackson and I were asked to facilitate the discussion between the white people of South Dakota Conference and the Dakota Association church members. It was really hard to stand in the middle, to be the bridge of their conversations. "We won't give the land back," said one side. And the Lakota said, "We can live on it together and work on solving these other inequities." Somewhere was born a new heart and a new spirit, where someone's "I won't work the field" became an "I will." For 4 years now, Dakota Association and the South Dakota Conference have continued to have these sacred conversations on race, and a lot of new understandings have been the result of that. And here's one more gift that the United Church of Christ will receive from Native peoples. The resolution called for study material. This past season of Lent, Norman Jackson gave us reflections from a Native perspective on the doctrine of discovery. And it's still up on the website if you care to go there. Based on these reflections, we are preparing a 6-session theological and biblical study series. It will be a study guide for youth and young adults, as well as a guide for adults. And it will be distributed by Justice and Witness Ministries. And I invite you to be an Oklahoma church that will undertake this difficult and complex subject to think about and discuss. What better place than in the sanctuary of this church, whose vision statement matches this particular lesson? And you can have a sacred discussion. We come bearing many gifts. You bring them as well as we bring them. And we can join our gifts together to create a better place where justice happens. Thank you for this invitation to be with you today. Mado Jigejesti.